I'm good, Drew. How's everything with you, my man?
Hey, I am completely blessed. I'm excited for this upcoming weekend, I think, as everybody is. Your general thoughts on the Super Bowl. If someone were to tell you before the season started that the Bengals and the Rams would be the two teams in Super Bowl 56, what would you say?
Well, normally, Drew, I would say that they're completely out of their minds, but as we've learned and we've seen from the National Football League, it's a second-by-second league, so everybody believes that at the beginning of the year that they have a fair shot, that if things break their way and they play the right way and they're able to do the right things, that they can have a chance. And that's been part of the beauty and the charm of the National Football League, where you could look at certain teams and say, yep, they're going to be contenders, and then midway through the season you say, okay, what happened to that team? And then a team like the Bengals, where two seasons ago they only won two games in the regular season, here it is 2 years later, they're in the Super Bowl. I guess that the unexpected more than ever before should be part of the expected becomes when it comes to the National Football League, because more than ever before, it's a second-by-second league and not a week-to-week, year-to-year league.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, that we see with the trends, you know, is teams that get hot going into the postseason. For the Bengals, of course, they rested the starters after they clinched the division against Kansas City, but they had won three out of their last four. If you look at the Rams, they had won five out of their last six, so two of the hotter teams coming into the postseason end up making it all the way. The first time that two four-seeds have ever met in the Super Bowl. The Bengals have long been known as the franchise that can't win a playoff game. They've been made fun of, called the Bungles. Joe Burrow in his first full year has them in the Super Bowl. How would you describe what Joe Burrow has been able to do for the Bengals franchise?
Well, whatever holy water, Drew, he's dipped himself into it, I want some of that. Let's put it that way, because it's not so much how the way he's played, because I thought he was going to be a terrific quarterback after winning the Heisman Trophy at LSU, winning a national championship. I didn't have any doubt. It wasn't a fanboy thing. I just looked at what I saw from that guy and his demeanor, and I said, yeah, that guy's going to be successful, and he's exactly the Cincinnati Bengals need. But the fact that he's been able to uplift everybody's game from a physical standpoint, Drew, and also a mental standpoint, it must be wonderful, because I'm sure this is how Kansas City has felt for the last couple of years, especially in defense, that no matter what you do, that quarterback is going to have your back. And that's how they feel. The defense says, man, if we play well, we're going to run away from teams. Even if we don't play well, that guy has our back. That's what he's been able to do, where all of a sudden you can't look at them as the Bungles. The minute that he was drafted by this team, he said, that's the team I want to play for. That's the team I grew up rooting for as a kid. That made a huge, huge difference in that organization. And other guys look at him and say, we know he's going to be all about it. The last thing we want to do is let him down, because we know he's going to be all in no matter what.
Yeah, and we've seen that dedication from the franchise since then, with, you know, going in free agency and getting Trey Hendrickson and DJ Reader, Von Bell, among plenty of others. You mentioned the defense, and over the course of the playoffs, they're a big reason why the Bengals are even here at this point. What do they bring to the table that can throw Matt Stafford off as far as the defense is concerned? Some keys for the Bengals side.
They bring toughness, and they're really good when they can scheme and find a way to make adjustments in-game, because we've seen that so far from this team, beating the Raiders, beating the Titans, and beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Whatever was not working in the first half, they're able to make those kind of adjustments and stymie and keep you from doing what you want to do. That's been an underrated part of this defense, because you know they're going to play tough and going to play physical, and you better do that against a Rams offensive line that wants to run the ball, set the play action, take their deep shots down the field. But their defensive staff has been really, really good, that if something is working against them, they're not going to allow that to happen and allow that to continue. And that is something I can't wait to see, that if the Rams are having success doing one thing, what will Cincinnati do to take that away and force the Rams to counter and do something else?
Yeah, and one of the guys that coming into the season and throughout the season had headlines, of course, is OBJ. Doesn't seem like he was the problem in Cleveland. He's been a crucial part to the Rams being able to make that run. Obviously, you have Cooper Kupp there as well. How does Odell complete that offense and that passing attack that Matt Stafford and Sean McVay want?
Because the one thing you can't do is double Cooper Kupp, because if you do that, Odell Beckham Jr., he has shown that one-on-one coverage, he can beat that one-on-one coverage, whether it's a short route and taking a long way or beating that defense and topping up the defense and getting down the field. And you're right, Odell Beckham Jr., in his own way, said, you know what, things aren't working well in Cleveland, but I'm not the 100% part of the problem. He goes to the Rams. He has a new lease on life. He doesn't have to worry about being the guy. He hasn't worried about touches, and he's played lights out in the playoffs for the Los Angeles Rams. So that's what he's been able to do. Cooper Kupp is still getting his. And right now, he's the best wide receiver in the National Football League. But they've done a wonderful job complimenting each other. And that's a compliment to Sean McVay, being able to make that work, knowing that you can key on Cooper Kupp, he's still going to get the football. But if you leave that guy one-on-one coverage, he can still beat you with a big play.
Again, speaking with Freddie Coleman of ESPN Radio, a co-host of Freddie and Fitzsimmons, the Super Bowl is a game that can impact your legacy, but it's not necessarily a career-defining game. I had heard earlier this week that people have said that this is potentially a legacy type of game for Matt Stafford. Would you agree with that, or do you think that it's something that isn't necessarily going to define him in his legacy if he does lose just this game?
Well, number one, I'm really getting tired of that word legacy being thrown around so loosely when it comes to a certain guy like Matthew Stafford. After all the years he played in Detroit, you're trying to tell me that his legacy is on the line, what he does in Super Bowl 56. Let's say, for example, they don't win the Super Bowl, Drew, but he goes out there and throws for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. Are you going to say that's a stain on his legacy? It'd be completely ridiculous to say something like that.
Yeah.
So you have to look at the sum of everything, what a person has been able to do, especially the quarterback position. It's not just a blanket statement that should be true that if he doesn't play well or they don't win against the Cincinnati Bengals, that's a stain on his legacy. I think too many people are going for the gotcha moments or the gotcha answers when it comes to narratives with certain players or certain situations, and a lot of people should not believe that because it's not even close to being a perception, and for damn sure it's not even close to being a reality.
Well, I think, see, I'm with you in the regards of with Matt Stafford coming in. I think a lot of people had questions. Well, can Matt actually elevate this team and get them to where they want to be? I think he's answered any sort of doubt at all whatsoever by what he's been able to do in the Super Bowl. They had those turnovers against Tampa Bay. That wasn't Matt Stafford's fault. In fact, he led them on that game-winning drive to answer, you know, when Tom Brady comes to lead that drive down, you're like, crap, that's too much time. And for Matt Stafford, you know, that was too much time. He made those two throws to Cooper Kupp. But I think for Matt Stafford, obviously, he's one of the stars in this game. Joe Burrow's one of the stars. You got Jamar Chase and both wide receiver cores. But who are two X factors to you, maybe one from each team, who don't necessarily get the limelight as much as those other guys that you think are going to make an impact in how this game is decided?
The two running backs, because I believe the biggest non-quarterback X factor in this game is Joe Mixon, running back of Cincinnati, because if we see him having 80 to 90 yards rushing, and a couple of touchdowns, and also catching the ball out of the backfield, that means that's a lot less pressure on Joe Burrow, where he doesn't have to win the game by himself, or the Rams can't force him to win the game by himself. So definitely the running back for the Cincinnati Bengals is that key X factor. And look at Cam Akers, because he gives them their identity. I know they have Matthew Stafford. I know they have Cooper Kupp. I also know they have Odell Beckham Jr. But Cam Akers and that offensive line gives them an identity, because if they're able to run the football, then they can run that boot action and take their shots down the field. If you stymie the Rams and you don't keep them from running and getting those chunk plays running the football, then they become predictable. Then all of a sudden you can defend them a little bit better and get after their quarterback. So that's why the two running backs are the two biggest X factors during this game. If they're having success running the football, that means Joe Burrow and Matthew Stafford don't have to throw for over 300 yards. That means that reduces the pressure on the quarterback, and also now the offensive line is really dictating the game and dictating the line of scrimmage. Keep an eye on both of those guys. If either one of those guys is having a big game, that means the quarterback doesn't have to do as much, and that makes it a lot better for the opposing defenses not to be on the field for a long strength of time.
What's the most intriguing matchup to you? It could be coaching, kicking, special teams, position group. What matchup is the most intriguing to you for this game?
From my standpoint, my man, I think, Drew, it's going to be the offensive line of Cincinnati versus the defensive line of the Los Angeles Rams, because we know that the Cincinnati Bengals have problems protecting the quarterback. We all go to the 9 sacks they gave against the Tennessee Titans. And Aaron Donald, for my money, pound for pound, is the best football player in the National Football League, the future Hall of Famer from the Los Angeles Rams. But remember this. You can run on the Rams. The 49ers showed they can run on the Rams. At times, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are able to have success running the football. Even though they're a decent defense, they're not that good in terms of standing up the physical teams. And this Bengals team will be physical on the offensive line running the football. So they're able to do that early, and they're able to get a lot of second and third and shorts. Then all of a sudden, the Rams have to gamble their linebackers. Then that leaves one-on-one coverage. And Joe Burrow has shown one-on-one coverage. He is not going to miss those throws for Cincinnati. So that's what I want to see. If the Rams can be as physical as the Bengals running the football, if they can, then this Bengals offense is going to have a little bit easier time against this Rams defense than anybody could have anticipated.
I think this is one of the cooler Super Bowls that we've had recently, because you got the Bengals, who for the third time ever are in this game. They've never won it. The Rams have only won it once, and that was back when they were in St. Louis. And of course, you got Zach Taylor from the Sean McVay coaching tree. They've learned; he learned from him. There's a lot that goes into this. I think that presents a lot of good storylines and headlines. But is there one team that presents a better story if they win? I think the Bengals have a lot that they present, and then the Rams as well with Matt Stafford and those guys having never won anybody on that roster. There's a good story there. But does one team present the better story if they win?
It is the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think there's any doubt about that because it wasn't that long ago, as a matter of fact, before the regular season got started, that people were still calling them the Bungles, Drew, and wondering if they were ever going to get out of the abyss they put themselves in. And let's bring some memory to everybody's memory out there. 2 years ago, this team only won 2 games in the regular season in 16 games. They've won more games in January leading into February in a playoff run than they did 2 years ago in 16 games in a regular season. So anytime anybody's thought about the Bengals or heard about the Bengals, it's never been a good feeling, even if you are a Bengals fan. If they're able to push through, it's going to have the same effect in that city and maybe around the National Football League the way the Chicago Cubs won the World Series in 2016 after not winning a World Series over 108 years. We saw exactly what kind of effect that was in the city of Chicago and that organization. If the Bengals are able to do that, it's going to have that same kind of effect, not just that organization, the perception changing, but also that fan base that's been a loyal fan base to Houdet Nation when it comes to Cincinnati.
So all that being said, who you got and why?
I think the Rams are going to win this game, but it's going to be a close game. The Bengals will fight. They will claw. They will scratch. They will not allow the Rams to bully them. They're going to push that bully back. But the Rams will be able to make a little bit, a couple of plays down the stretch on both sides of the football. I think this game will be close going into the final 5 or 6 minutes, and I think the Rams win a close game 28-24. I think it's going to be a very good Super Bowl, a very exciting Super Bowl, mainly because the Rams playing in their home stadium and the Bengals are not going to back down. They're not going to quit.
Again, he's Freddie Coleman of ESPN Radio, co-host of the Freddie and Fitzsimmons Show. You can listen to it right here on ESPN Pensacola starting at 8 p.m. Central. Freddie, a pleasure as always. Really enjoyed our conversation, and you have a good weekend and enjoy the Super Bowl.
Same here, Drew. Let's do it again soon.